Science can't explain everything. Just because you can't see me doesn't mean I'm not here.
Thank you for joining me, everyone, and welcome to Paranormal Encounters podcast series. My name is Dr. Kelly Renee Schutz. I am the host and the producer of this show. Sit back, grab yourself some popcorn, and let's get started.
Be careful what you wish for.
Yes, indeed, everyone. As they say, let's get started. Well, we better get started. We have a two-part show tonight, and Mr. Sean Graham is in the house. Sean is a near-death experiencer, and he is also the host and producer of the popular podcast show, Chasing the Truth. He can also be seen on YouTube Live on Wednesdays and Saturday evenings. And without further ado, I need to get started. So here we go, Mr. Sean Graham.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
Well, hello, Sean, and thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kelly, for inviting me to your show.
Yep, no problem. Well, everyone here knows my style by now, and with all my guests, I like to start out with a little bit of humble beginnings. Now, you heard a little bit about Sean in the introduction, but you haven't really gotten a chance to know Sean. So, Sean, let's start out, and I want to start you back as far as you can remember, and I want you to go back to your early years, and I want you to think about whether or not at that point in time in your life, if you, now when you look back, do you think you might have had any kind of paranormal experiences?
Yeah. The first one that I had was probably about 6 years old, maybe five.
Okay.
It was my parents, of course, at that time, in a little trailer court that was catty-cornered on two sides by a big cemetery.
Ah.
And I would see things walk down the hallway. And I would call out to my father and say, "Dad, there's something going down the hallway." And my dad would say, "Shut up, Sean. There's nothing going to bother you."
Yeah.
But about 2 years after that, we moved out of that trailer court to another, you know, part of the town. And he stops into this grocery parking lot and with my sister and my brother in the back seat, flips around. And I don't know why, I thought he was going to go in to get milk, bread, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he said, "I wasn't going to tell you this until after we moved out." So one night that he woke up, saw this guy walking through, going green, I think, or bluish green.
Okay.
Walking down the hallway looking in each one of the kids' rooms.
Okay.
And I actually remember him doing this. He wakes up and he screams out, "Who the hell are you?" And then he woke me up, and he said he left. He saw this thing walk through his bedroom, through the end of the trailer, and then he follows this orb to adjacent neighboring trailers until it got to the last trailer, and then left. Okay. And he said that when it went to each individual trailer, he could see this glow go through the entire trailer from tip one end to the other. And I remember my father saying this, and I was like, yeah, I remember that. And then I got really angry at him. I was about ready to choke him out. And I was like, buddy, you told me there was nothing there, and I was seeing this stuff. So, yeah, that was one of my first paranormal stuff
I remember. Okay, I want to break this down a little bit because you brought up a couple things that have kind of struck a chord with me here, Sean. So let's first start out with your age 6. Let's just start with that. Okay.
Okay.
Now, many people know on my show that around the age 3, 4, 5, I was having experiences that I thought I was either causing or I was confused by or whatever at about that age. And of course, I never said anything because I thought it was just like, you know, your imagination or it's coincidence or whatever. You're age 6 and you're having these experiences by the cemetery. So did you think at that time, when you were that age, that this is something unusual or something normal, or what was going on through your head at that age?
At that age, it was spooky. I remember having to cover up my head quite a bit.
Okay.
I just didn't want to see this stuff walk by, and I actually had a fear of waking up with my hand outside the cover for whatever reason, over the, you know, lapping over the bed itself.
Interesting.
I can remember pulling my hand back in, but I was a little bit fearful to a certain degree.
Okay.
But other than that, no.
How many siblings did you have, can I ask? Brother, sisters?
One brother, one sister.
Did they ever?
My younger brother had passed away in 2016.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's okay.
Did he at the time, did either of your siblings ever say, yeah, I saw this stuff too?
My sister did. My brother was one of those fellows that kind of, he's oblivious to everything.
Yeah. The experiences I have. You know what fascinates a lot of people? Because there's various discussions about this. And I'm on the fence. I could go probably either way, depending on the day or whatever's going on. But so you live by the cemetery, right?
Right.
And so a lot of people, some people, I'm not going to say a lot, I'm going to say some, would say, oh, you live by a cemetery. Oh, I bet your place is probably haunted by everybody in that cemetery. Whereas other people would sit there and say, they're gone. You know, there shouldn't be hardly anybody flitting around the cemetery. And so I don't know what's happening, blah, blah, blah. What are your thoughts, Sean, about the activity that could potentially still go on in a cemetery, especially if you're living next door to one?
I agree with you. I've heard both instances, both opinions about, you know, the cemeteries. Most people, I've talked to one of my buddies, Jim Mallard. He has been in paranormal investigation field for a while and runs his own show, the Mallard Report.
Okay.
But he thinks it's the most peaceful thing that he could, peaceful place he could go to, a cemetery.
Yeah.
Then you run into other people that think it's about the most haunted thing they can come across. I'm kind of in between. Depends on if you've had a instance where somebody has come in and done rituals there and disturbed stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm on the fence of whether it's a peaceful place or if it is, you know, supernaturally active.
Well, and I also know too that when I don't often visit a lot of cemeteries, only when I have a need to go for whatever reason, but you know, there's always, I like to use the word tricksters that can flit about in a cemetery. You know, one moment you're thinking you're talking to somebody that you love or know or whatever. And then the next moment if you have devices that especially speak to you, and I have, I get a lot of intelligent words formed together in cemeteries. But I also think to myself, Interesting. Don't know if this is really coming from the deceased that I'm talking with, or if it's coming from somebody who's just kind of flitting about, standing next to you and putting in the words. So I'll give you just a little tiny example. So I have a great grandfather who I was talking to once in the family cemetery. And I had said, is there anything that, you need me to know at this point in time? And the words that came out of my device were, I could use a massage. Okay, so there's a humorous side to hearing the words, I could use a massage. It just means that I've been laying in the ground so long, I could certainly use whatever. But then on the other hand, even though that might or may not have been him, something intelligently produced those words that made a lot of sense to just referencing the moment. Have you ever been in a cemetery or the one that you live next to, Sean, where you received any kind of messages, either telepathically or in any other way?
Back when I was 30-ish, something like that, I was dating this lady from North Carolina, and we went to this one cemetery that actually had a slave, subsection slave cemetery. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it was actually a Civil War cemetery too.
Okay.
On top of that. Mm-hmm. And the grave site that we went to, we were actually doing some paranormal whatever with that. Mm-hmm. The grave site we went to was one of the cabinet members of the Civil War with cabinet. Mm-hmm. I think his name's Miniger or I can't remember his name, but it was a rather, ornate part of the cemetery, huge stone, and took a picture, and I didn't see it at the time, but it looked like it was raining red snowflakes all over the place.
Interesting.
Did I get any messages there? Nope. Other than it felt a little creepy. That was about it.
Interesting. So now you guys moved from where you're at to a different location. Did any of these hauntings follow you, or did you have different types of hauntings, or did you just have peace for a while?
Once the actual trailer moved with us, nothing came with the trailer. So
nothing came with it.
Nope. I believe it was just localized to that one section of the town. So,
when you saw this guy, I'm curious, looking in room to room, did he look relatively, you can kind of tell sometimes on their faces if they're...
I didn't see the guy. My father saw the guy.
I saw
things walking by. By my doorway.
Okay.
About three or four times, calling out to, hey, Dad, something's going down the hallway. And he would, kind of put a stop to it, said, nope, there's nothing here. Nothing's going to touch you. Be quiet. Go back to sleep, kind of stuff.
Did anything ever enter your room ever that you know of?
No. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. I've heard of this bluish, greenish cast, shadowy kind of essence before, so and it's interesting because you wonder why some show a grayish glow, some are more cream colored, some are very very translucent, but then they don't hold their energy for very long, but just long enough to sometimes be seen, and then they just kind of dissipate. So all right, so now let's move this up a little bit. So let's go up in age a little bit. So now you're beyond the age of 6, and you've had some kind of unsettling experiences, and you live by a cemetery, which is unsettling in and of itself. But what would be the next age that you would say that something relatively noteworthy took place? Anything you can recall?
I had very vivid dreams.
Dream.
Where I would live almost like another life. I would dream of this one particular girl that I grew up with. She was fairly the same age, a little bit younger. Mm-hmm. But I grew up with her being in my dreams in the same place next to a big willow tree.
Okay.
And I remember having that throughout my entire adult life, up to the point I had my near-death experience, and I haven't had it since then.
Oh.
But I actually met that woman. I actually met that woman in 20-some years ago.
And how did you identify her?
She knew the dream. She explained to me what was dream content was about. I didn't have to explain to her what it was, and I explained, you know, we kind of filled in the blanks on both ends of the spectrum. And I'm still, you know, friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know to what extent, other than I was meant to be with her for a short time.
Okay. So. Interesting. That's interesting when you think about it. So I was going to ask if she was within your age range, and if this is someone you eventually dated, or because
yeah, we had a relationship for a while,
mm-hmm.
you know, off and on, for the last 20 years, give or take, 20, 22 years,
mm-hmm.
give or take.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
yeah.
People come into our lives. My background is human ecology and relationships, and people come in and out of our lives all the time for various reasons. And sometimes we don't even know the reason until maybe years later, and then you can kind of fill in the blank as to what that moment was meant to be for you, or what you learned from that experience. So, that's interesting though, because I would have sat up and took notice. Now, did you say you're are you an artist as well? Because it sounds like you do some sketching.
I was when I was in high school, mm-hmm. up until the point I got into, you know, doing the medical part of training through college,
mm-hmm.
and then I lost all interest with it. You know, I just dropped it like a hot rock. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. I just didn't have any kind of satisfying itch to scratch,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
to do that up until last 3 months or 4 months. And now I'm like, wow, I can still sketch.
Yeah. Well, sometimes where our focus gets shifted. And
yeah.
then all of a sudden, at some point where it just, I don't know, it just seems right, or something clicks again, it comes right back to us. I think a lot of us can relate to things that we used to do that we might have liked, or we did well, and then all of a sudden it kind of changes. Okay, so now I'm curious about your high school years, because...
Okay.
Because you know what? A lot of times, or at least back in my day, you don't talk about this stuff, you know, you don't really inkle it, because people back then still had their viewpoints of it. I would like to know a little bit about the viewpoints of anything paranormalish or anything back in your high school days, or if this was not something you guys talked about either.
Every once in a while, we talk about a couple of things amongst friends. My grandmother was, you know, where all my paranormal stories came from when I was a kid.
Okay.
Yeah, she was one of these center points of my life that, mm-hmm. you know, when we'd go over and visit or stay the night, she'd always get a thrill out of scaring the living crap out of her grandkids and say, okay, go to bed. And of course, you know. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of great stories that she told that I've retold on my show,
mm-hmm.
Probably about 3 or 4 years ago when I first started retelling those stories. But yeah, we didn't do a lot of paranormal anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was more or less, what are you going to do tonight? You know, what's
right.
the next party, or you know, who's dating who, or whatever the next drama mm-hmm. session was in
mm-hmm.
high school. So.
So let's go back to this grandma of yours. Was she telling you a true story, or was she just trying
no,
to
actually,
just scare
it was a true
you?
Story.
Okay, can you share a couple?
Sure. My grandmother, when she how she's told it was, she was just started setting up houses. She referred to it and with her new husband, my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently they had a argument that day,
mm-hmm.
and she kicked him out of the bed. So George, you got to sleep in the living room.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know what the actual argument was, but she said in the middle of the night, she felt George get back in the bed with him. And then at that time, she said, I was over whatever it was I was arguing with him over.
Yeah.
Said he grabbed a hold of her and he could, you know, she could feel him breathing on the back of her neck.
Mm-hmm.
And then since dawn breaks, back then, you know, everybody got up at dawn and, you know, fixed coffee or whatever. She gets up and George is not there with her.
Hmm.
So she's like, well, I don't know what's up with him. So mm-hmm. he got, I'm usually the first one up,
mm-hmm.
goes in, makes coffee. And then my grandfather, I refer to him as Papa.
Yeah.
Walks into the kitchen and Granny says, where were you, George? And I said, you come in the bed last night. I said, what are you talking about, woman? You kicked me out of bed last night. I didn't come back in there. Mm-hmm. He was mad at me. And she's like, I could literally feel whatever that was breathing on the back of my neck, mm-hmm. holding me.
Yep.
And it wasn't George.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. you know, she off to bed we go.
So let me insert a state here, maybe. Are you able to at least reveal the state that you lived in or she lived in when this incident happened?
Let's see. Western Kentucky. Southwestern Kentucky.
Yeah, I was just talking to someone on one of my shows. There seems to be...
Oh, not Western. Eastern.
Eastern.
I'm sorry. I'm in Southwest Virginia.
Okay.
But this happened in Eastern Kentucky. I get that kind of mixed up. So.
Was it kind of a wood... Now, I don't know all my, you know, geography or whatever.
Sure.
Wooded area?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Wooded? Was it a wooded area?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm getting at.
Heavily wooded.
Some of these places are a little bit more flat compared to others, you know, but I'm trying to set the scene and I'm sitting here going,
oh, it's beautiful wood. Mountains.
There, yeah, there. Mountains, beautiful wooden area. Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I had heard about, it just seems like lately I hear an awful lot about that area. It's not just the Eastern, but I'm talking Tennessee, West Virginia, parts of that, anything very mountainy, woodedy, with all kinds of things happening, or maybe we're just finally waking up to understanding about some of these areas. But
mm-hmm.
that didn't even surprise me. Okay, so that's a good one. So now she has this experience with this thing that obviously crawls into bed with her. Did she ever have any more experiences after that you recall her sharing a story about?
When they were my father and aunt and uncle were little kids.
Okay.
She said that they had a haunted staircase.
Haunted staircase. Okay.
Yeah, that in the middle of the night you would hear somebody creep up the staircase, walk up and down, run up and down the staircase, and she got, you know, she was pretty crazy. Well, not crazy. She was really into the supernatural.
Yeah.
Wanting to get rid of whatever was causing this stuff. And
yeah.
Had my grandfather tear down the staircase and rebuild it. And she said, we found what looked like a dried, bloody cloth stuck inside of the staircase.
Oh, my.
So she said she grabbed a hold of the cloth, took it outside, burned it, buried it, and said a prayer over it.
Okay.
And she said, ever since then, that was, you know, what nothing that bothered them since then.
Okay.
There was also an adjacent story at that same house.
Mm-hmm.
My grandfather actually told me about, so that there was these instances late in the evening around dusk that they would hear somebody running down the highway, or not the highway, the little road.
Mm-hmm.
In high heels, cackling.
Hackling.
And
yeah.
Cackling,
you know,
and
yeah.
My grandfather, he would reference, I took my .22 out and shot at it, and it would just cackle loud.
Oh, did he see anything, though? He just heard the...
No, he never saw it.
He just heard it, right?
He just heard somebody running, you know, according to him, running down the highway, or not the highway, the road.
Road.
And high heels cackling.
It was this all in the same area that...
Same place as the staircase.
Do you know offhand... by chance, if that area had any traumatic activity or any kind of violent activity, that where that would have imprinted somehow into the, you know, into the essence of the area?
That area that they were living in at that time was a heavily coal mined area. So I'm sure there was a lot of deaths and stuff associated with the area.
Yeah.
No doubt about it, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not like today when you hear, you know, somebody's trapped under a mine or whatever.
Yeah.
I think the last one that I heard that went nationwide was actually from my area. a coal mining accident. But that was back when 80s or something like that.
Yeah, there was a lot of people back
then. Yeah, there was a lot of coal mining incidents and accidents and stuff. And I can remember stories of my great grandfather when he retired. He retired his mule that he used to coal mine.
Oh, interesting. Now,
yeah, that that kind of stuff. Now, I would assume if you heard of an old coal mine, there was a lot of death associated with it.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting how it imprints into the environment and then shows up probably during conditions that, you know, that are right for it. But very, very interesting when you think about it. So she sounds like she was quite a character. Your grandma. And then, so let's move this a little bit now into your post high school years. Let's go ahead and keep moving here.
Okay.
At what point were you still having paranormal experiences at the point of graduation and beyond?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like every house they ever moved in was haunted.
Okay. Talk a little bit about one or a couple of them.
Let's see. I used to live in a town called Kingsport, Tennessee. The house I moved in was definitely haunted. I had an occasion after I had gotten married, and then we broke up about 12 or 13 years later. But I still lived in the same house that we lived in together. And I brought a girlfriend home one evening, and she's like, "What is that old lady doing in your hallway?"
Oh, God.
And the, you know, to my knowledge, that that particular house was had a little lady that lived in there that died in there.
Yeah.
And I occasionally felt this lady in the house. I never saw her, but I've had a lot of people say, you know, wake up in the middle of the night, screaming like, "Who the
is you?"
Who is that? Kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And there was one time I was washing dishes in the same house. I had this thing where I, you know, I would decompress during the day, especially when I was a director over sleep labs. I would wash dishes by hand in front in the evening times as I was watching the dusk fall. And, you know, especially in the summertime when the little birds and stuff would come up and start feeding off the flowering plants around my kitchen window. And this little hummingbird comes up and starts feeding. And that was one of my pleasures. But there was one time I felt this presence come up to me like it grabbed a hold of me, hugged me. And I literally chilled from the tip of my toes to the top of my head.
Right.
It was like it was just entered me.
Yeah.
I was like, little old lady, you better quit.
Like took possession of your body or went inside your body for a moment?
Felt like it hugged me.
Hugged you.
I can't say it. Hugged me.
Yeah.
And I just chilled. It just got super cold there.
Yeah, interesting. And you were did you say you're by the window watching this bird?
Yeah, a hummingbird. That was one of the things I just decompressed, kind of deal, dealing with whatever I dealt with during the day with medical or employee kind of stuff. And that was just one of my decompression stuff.
Interesting.
Simple, simple things.
So you never really saw this woman, but you did feel her throughout the house, right?
Absolutely.
Where was one of her favorite spots that you can recall?
Hallway in the kitchen.
Of course.
I don't know what the hallway was, but I had a little dog by the name of Stu. Actually, I saw a picture a couple of days ago when I first adopted him. He was on the end of my couch, which, you know, as a little puppy, at the end of the couch, looking down the hallway. And he and I was only presence in the house. I was like, oh, he's seeing this little lady kind of deal. So,
did anyone ever describe her? You know how, I mean, of course, when you're older, you know, you're older, right? But did anyone ever describe her and what she wore? Anything of period clothing there, long hair pulled back to try to date some kind of an era that she might have lived in that house?
She, from the lady that I was dating at that time that said, "Hey, there's a lady in your hallway." She said she was wearing an apron, a flowered apron.
Yeah, typical.
and I think house shoes or something like that, but nothing more descriptive than that. She just like, this is freaking me out. I saw a little lady in here. So, yeah. It didn't bother me. I felt the presence every once in a while, but it didn't bother me other than, you know, the interaction there at the sink.
Yeah.
Washing dish.
Well, what would bother me probably more, Sean, is if she was residual, where she just kind of showed up and she had kind of like a stone face where she doesn't have much reaction, or if she actually had more of an intelligent reaction, which was more of an expression to her face. Did anyone ever mention about anything at all about her facial expressions?
No. That was about as descriptive of a encounter that I've ever had it described to me. I've never did see anything in that house. I felt a whole lot of presences in that house, and that woman was one of them. Other than that, that's it.
Anything thrown around? Sometimes they get angry and they start throwing things. Anything thrown around that you recall?
Nothing at that house. This house, yes.
Okay.
But not that house. So that house was just, you know, it was fairly calm.
Yeah.
You know, other than, you know, the occasional creepy factor.
Yeah.
You know, chill bumps, goose pimples on the back of your neck kind of stuff. That was about it.
Well, not all apparitions that live with a person are hostile or want to be poltergeist-like activity. I know I've haunted three of my homes just in and of themselves, or brought out the hauntings within the home. So I do know the flavor of what can and cannot happen, especially if they're peaceful. It's one thing, but boy, when they get poltergeisty, that's another thing. Let's jump to the house you're at right now. Okay, so what is the age of the house? Not that it even matters. I've haunted homes that are new homes, so it doesn't even matter. So what's the age of your home?
Between 110, maybe 120 years old, give or take.
That's pretty old. Well, it's old, unless you keep it up and all that. So, all right, so tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world in that home now.
Now it's actually feels empty to me. But prior to what I'd done 3 weeks ago, which I did not even allude to in any conversation we had prior to this show, before that, this place was exceptionally active to the point where I saw shadow people, heard disembodied voices, things flying off the walls. I had personally been pushed in my wheelchair forward, right, actually, literally 2 feet from me, when I first moved in here 6 years ago, after my near-death experience. I rolled in here, and I don't remember what I was doing other than, you know, some random thing. And it felt like somebody just pushed me forward. I actually had to put down my good foot to, you know, stop the momentum forward.
Interesting.
Then I looked around, like, okay, who was that? And the room's empty. The closest person was on the other side of the house.
Yeah.
That could do that.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen full body apparitions here. There was one that during the college years, when I was going and doing clinicals at a hospital in an adjacent town, actually the Kingsport, Tennessee, the place I used to live, I came home one night, probably about midnight, maybe 1 o'clock, give or take. You know, can't exactly remember the time, but my grandparents lived here and they were kind enough to say, hey, Sean, you can live here.
Okay.
So I roomed upstairs. So I came home, come through the front door, and I didn't turn on any lights or anything because my grandparents, you know, slept with the door open. So I didn't turn the lights on. I started creeping up the stairs trying to be as quiet as a mouse, and I look up, and there's this little lady dressed in 1800 period clothing with a long gray dress all the way down to her ankles. A high collar with opaque pendant right here, cameo. Looking down at me like, who the hell are you in my house?
Right, exactly.
And I'm looking up at her, and she's blocking. I used the light from the street lamp that was outside coming through the upstairs window that was right at the top of the window, and she blocked out that, and I could see her. And had a good 10-second long look at her. And I was trying to reach for the serial switch at the bottom of the stairs to flip it open.
Yeah.
Or flip open the upstairs light.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find it. And I looked back, found it, popped it down, looked up, and she was gone.
Hmm.
I've had other instances where during that same time period, I was working full-time hours and going to college full-time.
Yeah.
So Sundays were my days off. Yeah. I slept in as much as I could, you know, catch up on sleep. And everybody was out of the house going to church.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard some lady, what at that time I thought was my grandfather, left one of his little radios on.
Yeah.
Heard a hymn being sung without music, just, you know, that sea songy mm-hmm. hymnal, yeah. mm-hmm. you know, Southern Baptist kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But I heard that and I was like, oh, Papa left his radio.
Right.
So that morning, or probably after, it was afternoon, heard my grandfather and grandmother come home. And I was like, well, I might as well get up. I got to go downstairs and, you know, take a shower. And usually they brought KFC home or whatever.
Yeah.
So I walked down and I said, Mama, Papa left one of his radios on. I heard it blaring. Somebody, you know, some singing or stuff like that. I said, they're running the radio on.
Hmm.
And he said, she said, you're going to have to ask George about it. So in walks my grandfather.
Yeah.
And I said, Papa, did you leave a radio on? I said, no, I didn't. Son, what are you talking about? I said, I heard somebody singing a hymn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought your radio was on. That little, like
a transistor
mm-hmm. yellow cube radio.
Yeah.
And I said, where's that at? And it was like magic. I was in the kitchen. He was in the dining room. Yep. He reaches behind the dining room wall, pulls out. So you're talking about this thing right here, right? I was like, yeah, but it's not on. I was like, okay. So, you know, a couple of weeks after that, I heard the same thing, you know, on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And then after, since I moved in here after I retired, I have not heard anybody singing in here. I've had encounters with this thing upstairs.
You have.
My sister and my niece, mm-hmm. We had a conversation probably been a long 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
about going upstairs. They won't allow any of the grandkids to go up there.
Okay.
Because of whatever presence that's up there.
Yeah.
They just don't want to allow them. They can actually, I remember saying, hey, don't allow that kid up there, or, you know, mm-hmm. scream out one of the grandkids' mm-hmm. names. Mm-hmm. Don't go up there.
Yeah.
And I talked about that. And we talked about shadow figures and stuff.
Yeah.
And my sister moved in with me after my brother passed away.
Okay.
So I had to keep my door closed because there's always some sort of shadow coming up and looking at me through the doorway.
Hmm. Do you think it's that woman? That woman that was standing at the top of the stairs?
There were three people that I was aware of.
Three. I'll relate. Well, I guess we wouldn't know the answer to that. Maybe
I wouldn't know about a relation, but I would assume that, you know, they knew each other.
Yeah,
I've had instances where, you know, what makes sense to me is, you know, this has a certain memory to it that repeats.
Yeah,
I've had people walk in. It looked like they walked into the house, stand in my living room while I'm either in a dining room or kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
Dressed in period. There was one guy that walked in. He was dressed in a long sleeve shirt with sleeves rolled up and suspenders
mm-hmm.
that were attached to the trousers.
Yeah.
And one of those clip on things.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, who are you? And I was like, and disappears.
Yeah.
I figured, well, that's probably a memory of somebody that probably wanted to, you know, do some trading at the store that was right next door here.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Walked in looking for proprietor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That just makes sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I had one dream where I woke up in the dream.
Okay.
I got up and I woke up in the dreams in bed here.
Mm-hmm.
And how I wake up and become aware that I'm in a dream is I got two legs in the dream.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is a dream. I got two legs. Cool. Well, let's mm-hmm. go find out what's going on. I heard something happening on the other side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked through, and my late grandfather was standing at the back door about ready to leave. And I said, Papa, what are you doing here? I said, well, I came to collect Homer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Homer was a next door neighbor that had just passed away probably about 2 or 3 months before that.
Okay.
I said, well, that's cool. What are you doing here? He said, well, I was about ready to leave. And he was about ready to open the door. And he said, he kind of smiled a little crooked smile. Said, you want to go for a ride? So, sure. Mm-hmm. So I walk out outside and there's my sister in the dream.
Okay.
And my sister looks at me and says, what's going on, John? I said, well, Papa come to collect Homer. You remember that old fella, don't you? I said, yeah. All right. And my grandmother had just passed away probably a few months earlier than that, too.
Mm-hmm.
She's sitting in this old Ford Black LTD that they had
mm-hmm.
back in the late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah.
And they're in the front seat. And my sister jumps in the back seat. And I have this flashback of playing with a little phaser from the early 70s.
Yeah.
From Star Trek.
Yeah.
Cheap. Mm-hmm. A little cheap thing.
Yeah.
And sis said, is it all right for him to drive? He's dead. I was like, this is dreams, sis. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So I can remember every inch of us driving mm-hmm. to this old church mm-hmm. in another town.
Mm-hmm.
And we get park in the back parking lot. And my grandparents pop out of the car and go back into the meeting hall where they had to do all the cooking and stuff.
Yeah.
And sis says, what are we supposed to do? Well, you follow granny, I'll follow Papa.
Mm-hmm.
She runs in and I walk into, you know, at best this probably could hold maybe 75 people
yeah.
in sanctuary.
Yeah.
Walk in and it's like in a big cathedral in New York
mm-hmm.
City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And a big crowd of people, and my grandfather is nowhere near as tall as I am. He's like 5'2", 5'3", yeah. at best.
Yeah.
And he's leaping through the crowd mm-hmm. in my dream. So I run after him, I catch up to him, and he grabs a hold of my hand and he starts dancing. And I look around, I was like, mm-hmm. wow, this must be his heaven.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So then he stops and he points at his shoes, and he was one of these fellows that always had a shoe for every occasion, mm. shoe for kicking around, shoe for you know plowing or whatever.
Yeah.
And he has church shoes on, mm-hmm. and he pointed at this little dot that got bigger, and it was like he had brown shoes on and got really dark brown, and then that darkness went up his leg up into his shoulders, and he looked at me and said, "You're about ready to leave, aren't you?" He said, "Yeah, but I'll see you soon."
Yeah.
And he disappeared
mm-hmm.
after that. And everybody disappeared that was in the cathedral.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked around and I was like, this is kind of cool. Then I woke up in my bed
mm-hmm.
and for 3 days, it smelled like flowers.
In Interesting.
It was just like open up the house after a long mm-hmm. winter.
Yeah.
And this old house, you got to open up all the windows.
Yeah.
And, you know, let the air cycle through.
Exactly.
It was like that for 3 days.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's wild. Especially, I'm just trying to put the pieces together as you're telling your story as to what kinds of parts of it were significant to a point of either teaching you something or putting something in front of you that you should have taken note of. Because a lot of times when we have our dreams, you know, you wake up and you go, good God, what did I eat last night, right? You know? And yeah, I've had some bizarre dreams, but I've also had some dreams that are incredibly real. Like I had a mantis in one of my dreams, and I won't get into it because a lot of people have heard this story a bazillion times about extraterrestrial and all that sort of thing. But we'll talk a little bit about that and to see what you know about the UFO experiences going on here. That would be a question I have for you. Where you lived or where you live now, have you ever experienced anything extraterrestrial or of a craft nature?
Probably. I'd have to go back and look. I actually made a report on it.
Mm-hmm.
Saw a what would be described as a triangle TR-3B craft.
Yeah.
Right above my house.
Yeah.
I actually have a video recording of it.
Okay.
But that was 2007, something like that. Okay. I'd have to go back and look at the exact date and time.
Right.
But completely silent craft. Mm-hmm. And my living girlfriend at the time, we hear us describing the craft.
Yeah.
And it was a little, you know, three lights on each tip and a strobing red light, which was a weird strobing red light.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I look at see new video of these TR-3Bs that pop up, I'll reference what I saw toward what's on the video.
Yeah.
And I've only seen maybe two pictures that sort of remind me of what I saw.
Mm-hmm. But, do you think they're government, or do you think that they were something outer worldly?
The one I saw, I believe, probably was something that we copied and built ourselves.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think that we have some UFO gadgets, some UFOs themselves, vehicles.
Yeah.
That, you know, we've reverse engineered. You know, to what extent, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that we're just barely starting to see this stuff really pop up.
Yeah. I talked with a gentleman who lives in an extremely wooded area, and he had military goggles that he looked in once to see the tips of the trees. You would not be able to see a UFO craft because they cloak themselves pretty well, whether it's the government doing it or whether it's something really otherworldly doing this. But he was able to see this craft through military goggles. Have you ever used military goggles before to potentially see any kind of crafts that are cloaked out there? Anything like that?
No, okay. Never, ever. Yeah. I've had instances where I've had what I thought was an implant in my right shin of my knee.
Okay.
Or not my knee, my right leg shin.
Okay.
To the point where when I had my left leg amputated in the hospital, in my 3-month recovery period in the hospital, I started hunting for that little, you know, it was about the size of maybe a grain of rice kind of deal.
Yeah.
And I thought, which leg was it? I didn't find it. Mm. It's there now, but I didn't find it when I was in the hospital.
Interesting. I presume, although it doesn't matter, that if you had a CAT scan or any kind of an MRI, and I don't know which one would pick this up better or pick it up at all, there's some of these things that, especially the one you describe about the size of a rice kernel, sometimes they are, I don't use the word cloaked, but they are covered with some kind of a flesh material or whatever, where they can't even be seen, even if you did any kind of a scan. Did you ever have a scan done ever?
No. Not specifically for that. No.
Well, you know, you got to justify that these days because, you know, I was talking to people about this too. You just can't go to a doctor and say, I'd like to have a CAT scan done. You know, I mean, it's just like, why? Because I think I've got an implant in me, blah, blah, blah. Well, you know,
let me refer you to
a psychiatrist. Yeah, I know. So, did you say you still feel you have this implant in you right now?
Last time I felt for it was probably a few months ago, 3 months ago.
And then sometimes when you feel for it, is it not there?
Just during that hospital stay for 3 months, I couldn't find it. But now I can find it. You know, if I took the time to locate it now, I could find it.
Without a doubt. Interesting.
I've had instances here in this house, which there's another story that has to do with my father.
Mm-hmm.
That I did not know this up until the point I spoke to my sister about it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said there was a lot of stories that he was abducted.
Okay.
And there was one story that he woke up and there was this gray alien on top of his chest. Okay. And the alien pops off of his chest, walks off, and he sits up, and there's this large, according to what my, I, I didn't hear this directly from my father. This was from my sister.
Okay.
And this is this large, huge orb in this room that, you know, not in this house.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about a dozen or so people around this orb standing.
Mm-hmm.
And he finds a fellow there that he knows that just passed away.
Okay.
And he walks up next to him and they start conversing. And it turns out that in the story that I was told, this fellow used to date my father at the father's girlfriend at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I won't say her name, but
yeah.
The name refers to the name.
Yeah.
And says, she won't believe a word that you're going to tell her about this until I tell you this personal story
mm-hmm.
between the two of them. I don't know what the story was,
mm-hmm.
but the reaction when my father told his girlfriend at the time, her jaw dropped wide open and turned three shades of white.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I did not, I knew my dad, you know, was sensitive to a certain degree, but not that, didn't know anything about that particular thing.
Interesting.
But I've had instances where I'll wake up and I just literally had one about 4 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Same scenario, laying in the bed, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's morning time, you know,
mm-hmm.
like right now you can see light coming through the mm-hmm. window shades. And I'm like, well, I'm still tired. Well, I don't have any place to go. I'm
right,
tired.
Right.
So still tired. I'll just lay here and go back to sleep.
Right.
Fall asleep, wake up, and it's dark, dark, dark. You know, it was dark when I fell asleep. I woke up and it was light like it was morning time.
Yeah.
And it's dark again. And, you know, I've got my digital assistant. I asked what the time is, 3 a.m.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right, that's strange.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had the same instance about 3 or 4 weeks ago. Yeah, same scenario. Wake up, light outside, going, well, go back to sleep, wake up, and it's dark. I'm like, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, at that time, you know, the last time, you know, I've had a lot of vivid dreams in the last 3 or 4 months.
All right.
So it correlated with the dream I was having at that time.
Can you tell us one?
One of the dreams?
Mm-hmm.
The last few months? It has to do with my near-death experience, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, we'll jump into
that later
if you want me want me to do it now or whatever.
We'll save that one. We'll get there. I'm just thinking about missing time and what would result from all of that. I'm just I kind of think about these things and I try to put placements in my mind about possibilities or anything, but why don't we talk about a story about missing time? Other than the possibility that you could have had missing time there,
okay.
Have you ever had other situations where you felt, because if you do seriously have an implant in you, you understand then, and I know you do, that you're marked. And being a marked individual means visitations, but it's more than that. If your dad had a possible abduction back in the day, did he ever mm-hmm. say to you how old he might have been when this occurred to him?
He never approached me about this abduction mm-hmm. stuff. My sister yeah. was the one that
mentioned it.
Opened my eyes about this stuff about him. I'd have to... Actually, I keep saying I'm going to bring my sister on the show to mm-hmm. tell some of this stuff.
Yeah.
She's got her own litany list of grocery item list of paranormal stuff. But I think the earliest one was probably when we were kids that she mm-hmm. referred to. I'll have to go back and specifically ask her about that.
Mm-hmm.
I knew that he had a lot of paranormal stuff back when he was a kid with doppelgangers and stuff.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because I know that if there's any abduction that even occurred before him or any kind of an extraterrestrial visitation to another family member or to your grandmother or to his mother or his grandparents, you know, sometimes these things skip a generation, that they have a tendency to follow a person's genetic line, you know, down to you, for example, the genetic line, and then all of a sudden pieces are being put together and going, oh my God, you know, could this possibly be like a typical marking? And that's what I call a marking, you know. And so I was just curious, like, you know, especially if he's ever had a beam hit him. And from your knowledge, let's talk about you for a second with beams and UFOs and all that stuff. I cannot recall this because I know we chatted briefly before the show. Have you ever had a UFO type beam either scan your house, hit you, hit somebody that you know or whatever? You know what I'm talking about. When something is in there and you think it's something else, but it really could have been possibly something of a UFO nature.
No.
That you know of or remember?
No. Nothing that comes to mind.
Okay. I wonder if your dad did. I mean, I'm not sure, but what did you... Can I ask what
again, your... Again, I'd have to ask my sister about
that. Yeah, because she probably has quite a...
Well, the reason why he didn't come to me, one, you know, in my early 20s, I was really hyper focused about, you know, college and career. I kind of slipped out of the loop, and my sister said he trusted me to tell quote unquote, everybody else would think I would be I was crazy if I told him what I'm about ready to tell you. I know you won't think I'm crazy.
I've heard it all. I've experienced a lot, so yeah, go ahead, lay it on me.
My sister was my father's confidant.
Yeah.
So I did not hear any of these stories directly from him, other than the doppelganger story from when he was a little boy walking home from school.
Okay.
And he said that his brother, my uncle Russell, was up on a hill and he was tossing rocks at him or something like that. And I'm gonna tell mom if you don't stop that kind of interaction.
Right.
Runs back and thinks that he's going to beat Russell back to the house.
Right.
He fully expected that he was going to beat him there and was going to run in and tell Granny, hey, Russell's throwing rocks at me. And Russell's asleep on the couch.
So
he's like, I don't know how that happened. I could have swore that was Russell throwing rocks at me.
Same area? Kentucky? Same area?
Yeah, Kentucky. Yeah.
This would be the second story I've heard with somebody who's had a doppelganger situation like that. But you know what's really creepy about it is the fact that you think it's them. Obviously, they model them. They look like them. They sound like them. And then all of a sudden, they're sitting there laying on a couch in a house somewhere, sleeping and going, I don't know what you're talking about. That is creepy. So what did you think about that at the time? Did you feel a little kind of like, what the heck did I eat last night? Or what went on in your mind?
Well, when my dad told that story, he said, are you pulling my leg or what? He said, no, son, I actually, this happened.
This happened to him.
This happened to him. So I believed him. You know, I didn't have any reason not to believe him. Yeah, just one of those weird stories that, you know, you tell one evening when you don't have anything else other than, hey, I've got this story to tell you. Kind of campfire story. So that was one of his stories he told me. He never, you know, confided in me in a lot of stuff with this paranormal stuff that he confided with my sister. But, I believe my sister without a doubt that that happened.
Oh, no. I've heard of this stuff before. So, you know, I just... There's never a crazy story when it involves somebody's perception or experience regarding something, because there are things out there, like I said, we simply cannot explain and may never be able to explain, but a lot of people are trying to run after it. And as your show would say, chasing the truth, getting to the truth, trying to get to the truth, or at least a little bit understanding, this is what fascinates people about stuff like this. Let's talk a little bit about what happened with your accident, and then we're going to move this into other aspects that I do want to delve into. So what can you share with us about what happened to you regarding, and then how it led to a near-death experience?
Well, the 2015, I became a pretty raging alcoholic. I was, that was just it actually forced me to the lady I referred to earlier that I dreamt about throughout my entire life. We were actually in a relationship at that time. And I got to the point where I did not want her in my life because I knew I was spiraling out of control. I just couldn't do it for whatever reason.
Yeah. We are now going to stop this interview at this point. So please head on over to finish listening during part 2.